Our next guest this morning celebrated her birthday yesterday. Very special day for everybody, but the big day for this woman also marks a landmark moment in science and in reproductive medicine. She was the first human being born as a result of in vitro fertilization, or IVF. You may even have learned about her in school. Louise Brown, a very good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
You can't really hide what age you are, so I can be indiscreet about this, can't I? Or impolite in talking about the fact that it was your 44th birthday.
Yeah, that's correct. I can't hide it, unfortunately.
And take me back, if you can, please, to what your parents have told you about 1978 and how they ended up becoming involved in this first IVF program.
So mum and dad had been trying to get pregnant for about 9 years, and it just wasn't happening. So mum managed to get a GP appointment, and they said that mum was depressed due to not being able to conceive a baby. So they then put her in touch with a local gynecologist, who basically said there was one in a million chance that she'd ever have a baby. But Dr. Hinton, the gynecologist, the local gynecologist, had said that she'd heard that Patrick Steptoe and Bob Edwards were doing trials, and they may be able to help. So she wrote, the doctor wrote off to Patrick Steptoe and asked if at that time they were interviewing people to see if they were suitable for the trials, because not everybody was suitable. Anyway, mum went up and met with Patrick, and it was a good meeting. She said as soon as she met Patrick, she trusted him. She knew he would be able to help her have a baby. So they were accepted onto the program, and there was a bit of backwards and forwards, because we, mum and dad, lived in Bristol at the time, and all the treatment went on up in Oldham. So there were like 400-mile round trips. Mum had to have an operation to have her fallopian tubes removed before they could start the IVF treatment. And Dad had luckily won money on the football pools, £500 at the time, which was a lot of money back then, to be able to pay for this operation to have her tubes removed so she could start on the IVF. And then here I am.
And here you are. Okay, well, football pools and the costs and the distance involved aside, it all sounds in 2022 very kind of normal and almost run-of-the-mill. But in 1978, Time magazine was writing that your birth, your arrival, was the most awaited birth in perhaps 2,000 years. There was really quite a fuss and a hoopla, wasn't there?
Yeah, I personally can't remember any of it, but I've seen video footage. Mum and Dad used to talk about it all, how it was sometimes quite frightening. I was 12 days old when I came home from, because obviously I was born up in Oldham. So I was 12 days old when I came home to Bristol. And that was purely because the amount of press there were around at the hospital and back at our house in Bristol, it just wasn't safe for me to travel back. So it was really crazy. I mean, I've seen news footage of literally about 100 people sort of around this ambulance, and they've literally put like a blanket over my head, and they've like sort of pushed their way into the front of the house.
Good Lord. And your birth was even filmed by the government?
Yes. I think they had the okay to film it literally about 5 minutes before they took mum down for the C-section.
Did you ever see that film? Did you want to see that film?
That is actually the film that my mum and dad showed me just before I started school at the age of 4, just to let me know, because obviously it was a big hype, and kids have no filters when you go to school and things like that. So they just wanted to, I mean, obviously I knew, I was used to all the media attention and things like that, even though I was still young, you pick up on that. So I knew there was something different. I knew there was something that they was just different. So Mum and Dad showed me the video, and it just basically explained that Patrick Steptoe, Bob Edwards, and Jean Purdy helped Mum and Dad have me. So it's a bit, it's quite gruesome because Mum had the C-section, so pulling me out and I'm sort of covered in blood and things like that. It's pretty gruesome for a four-year-old, but it made me understand, if that made sense.
Okay, but how much special and unwanted attention did you end up getting throughout your school years then?
It wasn't so bad through the school years because Mum and Dad had said to everybody, look, we want her to have a normal childhood. She grows up with her friends, normal schooling. So there wasn't very much, unless it was a very special occasion or unless Bob or Patrick had asked for us to do certain interviews or things like that. So my childhood was relatively like everybody else's.
But in later life that changed, did it?
Yeah, I mean, once Mum and Dad had passed away, and obviously Bob and Patrick had passed away, and Jean, I was suddenly realised that it was sort of only me in that room when I was born that was left. And I just thought, I need to do something to repay all what they've done for my mum and dad, and just raise awareness, and so that people realise that just because you have an IVF baby doesn't mean that they're going to have IVF. And just raise awareness, because it was such a new thing and people were quite frightened of it, and it's still quite a taboo topic in many different countries. And it's just so that I can feel like I give something back to people.
That's an interesting response or an impulse, because I would have thought that given, you know, what had happened earlier on in your life, what could potentially have happened, that most of your life would have been a struggle to be as ordinary as possible and not to mark or single yourself out in any way.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite difficult because I just feel that, I mean, lots of people have come up to me as I've grown up, and I was in our local town centre, and a lady came up to me, and I could hear these feet like running up behind you, and I was with my children and my husband, and I looked round, and she said, you're Louise, aren't you? And I said, yeah, because I'm used to people saying you're Louise, so I just said, yeah. She said, do you know what? She said, I said to myself, if ever I would get the chance to meet you, I would want to say thank you. And I said, boy, I haven't done anything. And she said, well, your parents then, and for you for keeping their memory alive and showing us all that it is completely normal now, really, to have the IVF treatment. And she said, without you and your parents and the doctors, I wouldn't have my little girl. And I said, oh, that's really sweet. And then I was talking to the little girl. And then her husband came up behind her, and he had a week-old baby in a pram. And she said, oh, obviously this one as well. And it's that sort of touches you more than anything, the fact that Mum and Dad and Bob and Patrick and Jean has helped like nearly 10 million couples have a family. And that's, I think, the best feeling of all.
Wow. So is that 10 million babies or just 10 million families, and possibly given, you know, the fact that you have twins so very often with IVF,
yeah, I mean,
we could be looking at 15, 20 million?
Possibly. I mean, when I was 40 4 years ago, they were saying 8 million.
Okay.
I don't actually know if they can officially know how many are born now, because it's such, I mean, it's worldwide, it's not
just
such
a huge number, and I know.
Yeah, so I mean, I just assume myself it's nearer 10 million, and that is just in itself an amazing thought.
Tell me about the memory box.
The memory box?
Yeah, you came across this correspondence that your mum had kept around her pregnancy.
was right. So once there were lots of, she had the letter from Bob Edwards stating at the very, she was in very early stages of pregnancy, and she shouldn't go skiing. sunbathing.
The skiing
drinking,
was the first thing on the list. Okay.
Yeah, shopping. And she was actually downtown Christmas shopping because I was conceived in November. So, of course, she was downtown Christmas shopping, wasn't she? So that's always been sort of a bit of a joke in our family that the day Mum finds out she's pregnant, she was doing something she shouldn't have been doing. So there was that. There were all the cards that we'd received from all over the world when I was first born.
Really?
Congratulations cards and how Mum was a very special lady and that how she gave people hope and thank you for doing what she's done, she did. There were just so many cards, letters from people she'd kept in touch with. There was just sort of everything to document my tags as a baby. You know, you get like your wrist and ankle tags. She had them. The umbilical cord tag, she still had that. She just literally kept everything. Newspaper cuttings, magazines. There was just so much in the bottom of her wardrobe was where she kept it all safe.
It must have all been incredibly exciting. Now, you have a younger sister who was also born through IVF 4 years later. How much more run-of-the-mill was Natalie's birth by that stage?
Do you know what? I can't even remember. This sounds going to sound really awful, but I think there was just so much going on. I can't even remember my sister being born. Whether it was my memory's not great from till I was about five. Now, whether that was because there was so much going on, so much press. I mean, we did tours of the world. But I do know I was there because I actually found a photo the other day of my mum sat with my sister in her arms, me, and then my dad sat on the side of the bed. So I know I was there. I just can't remember it.
Well, fair enough. You were pretty young, really. But she herself made history then by becoming the first IVF baby to conceive a child naturally.
Yes, she was. So she had her eldest daughter, who's now actually 22 and have children of her own. So she was the very first to have an IVF baby. And Bob Edwards was ecstatic when we told him that Natalie was pregnant. Bob Edwards was ecstatic because he knew then that it didn't matter how we were born, that you could go on and have a normal pregnancy yourself, which up till then they didn't know.
You're in the school textbooks now, aren't you? Or at least aspects of this are on the curriculum. How have your own kids reacted to being taught about it?
Cameron is 15 at the minute, so he's done sex education at school, and he was the one that saw the picture in the textbook recently, and he was like, "Mum, there's a picture of me and you in our textbook at school when we're learning about IVF."
Oh my God, how mortifying.
He was slightly embarrassed. And I said, "Well, get used to it." I said, I came across my picture in my science book, but my picture when I was in there was I was a baby. So it wasn't so bad because babies are babies, aren't they? So it was just a picture, one of the newborn pictures of me. But he was a bit mortified. He had his picture taken when I first had him, because obviously me being the first IVF baby, when I had him, because he was my first, there was lots of press interest. So I think he hates his picture being taken now, but that's because he's just a moody teenager.
Oh, every happiness and health and success to Cameron and to you, Louise. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning. It was really, really lovely meeting you.